Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your house to hear your holy word. We pray that through it you would strengthen our faith. Make us more and more certain that our sins are forgiven in Jesus, and that when he comes, he will take us body and soul to be with him forever in heaven. Bless us to these ends, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading verses 1 and 2. Now about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed by a spirit, a message, or a letter thought to be from us, which says that the day of the Lord has already come. So far our text. Please be seated. In Jesus the Christ, the coming judge of the world, dear fellow redeemed. There are some crazy teachings about the second coming of Jesus. And maybe crazy isn't the best word. Maybe confusing is a good word for it. On Tuesday, Pastor Mellon told us about some people like Miller and Ellen White and others who have predicted when Jesus would come. All of them so far have been wrong. And if they were wrong, sometimes they just tweaked what they had actually predicted so that it could sort of fit. The Jehovah's Witnesses predicted that in 1914 Jesus would return. Since then, they've predicted 7 times that the Battle of Armageddon, another false misunderstanding of the end times, would happen. All 7 have failed. So I think if we look at church history and those that have predicted and failed to tell us when Jesus is coming, we can probably conclude that Jesus is right when he says, no one knows the hour. But there are also other confusing things about the end times, as in regards to what will happen. Some teach falsely that there'll be a rapture where Jesus will come, but not visibly, and all of those that believe in him will be taken out of the world. The unbelievers will be left behind. I wonder if that's maybe what the Thessalonians were wrestling with. They had heard this false report, supposedly from Paul or the apostles, that the day of the Lord had already come. You can imagine that if, as a Christian, if you took that in, you would begin to doubt and question your faith. What's it mean that he's come and I'm still here? Wasn't he going to take me to be with him? Maybe that means I'm not really a believer. Maybe that means I'm not really one of Jesus' sheep. And then what's that mean about my sins? What's that mean for me when I die? Is death going to swallow me up forever? Now this message that had supposedly come from the apostles was having that effect among the people. They were shaken and they lost their composure. They swallowed this false teaching about the end times. Now, it can be difficult for a Christian to hear all these different understandings of the end times and of Jesus' second coming and sort through that mess. and come out with confidence of, well, this is what we really should believe. But this morning, I want to just step back from those arguments and those false teachings and look at what we do know. We know that Jesus came a first time. This is well accepted even in academia that there was a man, Jesus of Nazareth, who lived in first century Palestine. That's now considered historic fact. So we know he came a first time. The Bible tells us that he lived a perfect life, that he fulfilled all of God's commandments for mankind, because just like you, the rest of us have not and cannot keep God's law. The Bible also tells us that he suffered and died by crucifixion. That fact is also attested to by sources outside of the Bible. The Bible tells us that Jesus' death was on behalf of mankind in payment for mankind's sins. That means your sins and my sins as well. These are things that we know. We also know that he was raised from the dead on the third day. That great sign was proof of who Jesus is and what he has done. He rose from the dead because he did live a perfect life. If he had sinned in even the smallest way, he would still be in the grave. But he lives. And that means he did live a perfect life. And he lives proving that God has accepted Jesus' sacrifice on mankind's behalf, on your behalf and mine. God, through the resurrection of Jesus, was declaring to you that your sins are forgiven. So when the conqueror of sin, death, and hell says your sins are forgiven, you have no reason to fear when he comes again. In fact, his second coming should be a joyous occasion for you, because you will finally see face to face the one who loved you and died for you and conquered your enemies so that you might live victorious. So when the one who has conquered sin, death, and devil returns and says, I'm going to call you out of the grave and I'm going to raise you just as surely as I am risen, you don't have to fear death. Death is only temporal. It only lasts as long as Jesus takes to return. And if the one who has conquered sin, death, and the devil says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be where I am. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's as good as done. Jesus is coming again, and he will do everything that he has promised. He will raise us from the dead if we have died, and he will take us to be with him, that where he is, we may be also. Any end times teaching that distracts you from your faith in Christ is a false teaching. Any end times teaching that makes you live as if you've got tomorrow is a false teaching. Jesus wants us to stand firm now on the faith that we have, because he can come at any time to fulfill his promises. So stand firm then in your faith in Jesus as you wait for him to come and take you home. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to be our Savior. You sent him to live the perfect life that we have not lived, and to die the death that we deserve because of how we have lived. We thank you that through him, you have rescued us from sin, death, and the devil. We pray then that you would empower us with your Spirit to live as your children, faithfully clinging to Christ through all our days. Help us be ready for that day when Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. Help us not to be distracted from our faith in him by worldly pursuits or by false teachings of Christian denominations. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.